Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Happy New Year, everybody. So good to see you. Welcome to 2024. Can you believe it? Very exciting. We are launching today our new campaign, our new theme for January. If you're a guest today, huge welcome if you're joining us at any one of our locations from Avalon to Silverwater. We are so excited to have you today. And what a great way to kick off the year. Maybe you've moved into town. Huge welcome to Sydney or the new suburb you're living in. Huge welcome. If you're maybe new to God, we want to say a big welcome. Our arms are open. We're not here to judge your journey, here to celebrate your steps. And so we are kicking off the year with the title, The Setup. As you heard earlier, The Setup. And so we want to set up our year. We want to give it to God. We want to start on a solid foundation and a good footing, ready for an incredible year in 2024. So now here's a great thing you could do. If you want to give a year to God this year, maybe you finished school and you want to give a gap year to God. Don't give it to the world. You want to give it to God. We want to encourage you to do that. Maybe you're in another season of life and you're thinking, you know what? I want to consecrate. I want to set apart my life afresh to God, to following the call of God, to growing in my leadership. We want to encourage you to come and do our internship. Come and do it with us. Go to our website, c3syd.church. You get a certificate for in ministry and theology. You're going to grow in your leadership capacity and skill and gifting and calling. And you're going to do it with a bunch of people. You'll get to be a part of our staff. And we're going to see God's hand and calling on your life grow and multiply this year. So please, hey, if that's you, we just want to welcome you to come and apply for that. Go to our website. Like I said, now, I don't know if you've ever had a setup go bad, but Jessen and I, we got engaged 8 years ago, been married for 7 years. And when I proposed, I had a full setup. It was awesome. We went to the Q station. We walked down. I didn't realize it was quite a long walk, so that was a nervous walk. But we got to the what do you call it, the barge. And so we're there and we go down and we're ready. We're having a picnic. And so as we come down to have a picnic, I've organized a few things that Jessen doesn't know about. I've got a friend in the bushes taking photos, kind of creepy. And then I've got another friend who's going to be picking us up from a little beach called Little Manly. And he's going to pick us up in a boat at the wharf. And at the wharf, we're going to get back in the boat. We're going to glide nicely back, you know, beautifully, looking amazing, glide back to Little Manly. There I've got our family, they're up on a little headland and they're going to see us. We wave in and say hello and then we're going to go have our food and drinks and celebrate with family and a few friends. So we get down, we're on the wharf and I propose, I get down and I say, will you marry me? And Jessen says, of course, come on everybody. She didn't say maybe, she didn't go, she went, of course. But that was a good redemption because when I first asked her to be my girlfriend, I had 5 reasons why she should be my girlfriend. She told me no. She said, no, I won't be your girlfriend. And so I bounced back and eventually proposed and she said, of course. So at this point in time, I'm waiting for the boat to arrive. And so the boat is organized and it's organized by someone who remained nameless, Mitch Hammond, and he has got the boat. It's meant to be coming across to the wharf. And as Jess and I, we're hugging and we're celebrating, I look out to the ocean just to see how the boat is tracking. And I notice that there is a gentleman, again, who remained nameless, Mitch Hammond, who is in the middle of the ocean, drifting into the harbour. He's about to hit the harbour bridge. He's drifting. And I see this guy going, help, help, waving his arms, and I realize it's Mitch, and I'm thinking, oh my gosh, so I turn Jessen away, don't look, it's Mitch, what's he doing? And Mitch is stranded. Apparently, the boat broke, but I found out there was no petrol in it. So Mitch is drifting across the ocean, and he has to row the boat. He starts rowing the boat from Sydney Harbour into Little Manly Q Station. He's rowing in. He comes to the beach. I'm trying to hide from Jessen that it's Mitch. She has no idea yet, as far as I know. He calls his mum and says, "Mum, I need your help. Can you come down to Little Manly? Can you find a boat? You got to pick up Alex and Jessen from the wharf." She runs down to Little Manly. She finds a guy called Trent. Come on, give it up for Trent, everybody. Trent is in a boat having a great afternoon fishing. He stinks and he's rather drunk. And so he's got beer bottles all through his little tinny, which is not quite what I was imagining. And he comes over. This guy rocks up to the wharf in the boat, in the tinny, and his name's Trent, like I said. And Trent says, "G'day, guys. I'm your new lift." And I said, "Wow, this is not going how I imagined." But Jess and I were laughing, and he says, "Get in." And he's, you know, celebrating and a few little, you know, little beeps. And we're riding back down Manly, and it took a while. It took longer. Apparently someone up on the headland whose family member said, "Oh, I knew she'd say no. Wow, thanks for that." And so we're driving in, and my family see us, and we're waving. We're with Trent. Trent's like, "Yeah." And we come into the boat. We get, you know, see the family. And Trent, we said, "Thanks, but, you know, you can go back out fishing." What a time. What a story. Didn't go quite to plan, but you got to love a good setup is really important. Being prepared is really important. Having a good plan is really important. And we trust the Holy Spirit. Here's the thing. We are not trying to control God. We are not trying to control God. We're not trying to control people, but we are taking control. We are operating in the spirit of self-control. Self-control is not trying to control God. When I am self-controlled, I'm preparing my life for God to use me. God can't do the preparing for you. He will use what's prepared. As we are prepared, as we lay our lives down before the Lord, as we get our lives ready for God, He won't do that for us. He will do what He can do. And when we are doing that, we can trust God with the things we can't do. We can trust Him with the rest. So we want to set up the year. So we're going to take some time here this morning to set up the year. We're going to be looking at a couple of areas that we're going to be setting up over the next 4 weeks. But firstly, I want to help us set up our foundations. Foundations are really important. Have you read this scripture, Matthew 7, 24 to 27? I don't know if you've heard this. When I read it, maybe you will recognize it. "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does them," or does not do them, sorry, "will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." Thing about foundations is they're not always pretty. They're not the pretty part of building. And you got to do them first. You got to do them first. You don't do foundations last. You do them first. And that's why we believe, hey, let's get our foundations ready first for the year ahead. When foundations are being built, they take a little while. It doesn't happen overnight. But when it comes to the building, it seems like the building up happens really quick. But that's because you've got to build down before you can build up. And this is the principle that I believe God wants all of us to embrace this January, is we need to build down before we build up. Before we plan things that we're going to build up this year, we need to build down. We need solid foundations. And the thing about it is solid foundations doesn't happen just by hearing. Like Jesus said, if you hear these words of mine and you do them, you will be like the wise man who built his house on the rock. So here's the thing. To build on that rock, to build a solid foundation, you can't just hear it. It's got to have application. Knowing that lifting weights will help you won't get you strong unless you lift the weights, right? Knowing eating healthy will help you won't help you unless you eat healthy food. Knowing 8 hours sleep is really good for you won't help you unless you actually sleep 8 hours. Knowing God's word won't help you unless you apply God's word to your life. Come on, everybody. Can I get a good amen from everybody in C3SYD today? Amen. So we're going to set up three areas. We're going to set up our source, which is our devotional life. We're going to set up our resource, which is our time and money. And we're going to set up our community, which is being in a connect group, being in a small group, a Christ-centered group that are praying, talking, and doing life together. So we normally have dream cards. This year, we're going to have set up your year cards. And so we're going to approach it a little bit differently. Each week in the coming weeks, we want you to look at what we're talking about, devotional life, resource, time and money, community, and we're going to set up our year. Each week, we want you to have this card with you each week this January and be asking God, okay, Lord, how am I going to set up my devotional life? How am I going to set up my time and money? And how am I going to set up my community? What's that going to look like? Then in February, on the first Connect week of February, in our Connect groups, we're going to pray together for all these areas that we are setting up, that we are giving to God. And so we're going to do that a little differently this year. So make sure you get your set up your year card in this service today, ready for the month ahead. So let's go to our main scripture. We're going to go to Matthew 6, 25 to 34, and we're going to get the Bible on the screen and read this with me. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not. Everybody, can you say do not? Come a little louder. Say do not. Do not be anxious about your life, what you eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they, than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Jesus is speaking directly to humanity. Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. How they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not. Everyone say, do not. Come on, Manly, say, do not. Beautiful. Do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But, everybody, can you say a big but? Come on in, Silverwater. Say, but. Seek first the kingdom of God and his right. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not, there it is again, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amazing. Jesus speaking here and he's teaching. And two key phrases that come out is do not and seek first. Do not seek first. Not don't seek first, as in do not and then seek first. And it says, do not be anxious. And Jesus uses this phrase a lot, specifically three times in this passage of scripture. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. Therefore, do not be anxious. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. Please note, this is not speaking to a chemical imbalance in the brain. This is speaking to the cares of life, the concerns about material things. This is what Jesus is speaking to. This is the worry and the concern and the anxiety that Jesus is speaking to. And he's saying, don't live in a state of worry. Don't live in a state where your paradigm is constant worry. Don't be worrying about food. Don't be worrying about clothes. You know, my son Oakland, he never asked Jessen and I, hey, Daddy, Mummy, what am I going to eat? Hey, what am I going to wear today? I'm worried. He never does that. He tells us, I want to eat this. I want to do this. I want to play. I want to run. I want to slap you. I want to... he's not worried. He's confident. He's never asking. And it's this childlike dependence and confidence that he has in his parents that God wants us to have in him. The best way we can set up our year is to do not be anxious, is to deal with the worry about material things. A mindset of worry changes nothing. Think about that. And which of you, Jesus said, verse 27, and which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? Being worried changes nothing. Worry is in fact wasted energy. It's wasted. It has no impact. I've heard it said that worry is like a rocking chair. And whoop, happens to be a rocking chair right here, everybody. Do you have a rocking chair? Anyone? Yeah. Love a good rocking chair. You know, when you sit in a rocking chair, you rock back and forth, yeah, like so. And this is a very comfortable rocking chair. In fact, I believe it belongs to Alex Farncombe. Thank you for that. And so this rocking chair, you know, worry is described as a rocking chair because you're busy, you're keeping yourself busy, but it's taking you nowhere. A rocking chair, you are busy, you're moving, but you're not going anywhere. And that's what worry is like. When we live our life, when we begin our year in worry, we are beginning our year in a state of rocking back and forth, but making no progress. Worrying about money, worrying about family, worrying about our kids, worrying about school this year, worrying about work, worrying about friendships this year, worrying about where you're going to live this year, worrying about et cetera, all these worries. And here's what Jesus is saying. He is not saying these things are not needs. You need these things that you're worried about. You need these things that you're worried about. Jesus is saying, do not be anxious, but... He is saying, replace the rocking chair. Take that rocking chair of worry, throw it out. Get out of the chair, and rather than sitting and rocking back and forth, entangled, your heart and soul in knots of anxiety and worry about material things, rather than staying there, Jesus says, but seek first. Get out of the worry. Get out of the chair and get into prayer, everybody. Prayer on your knees before God. Bring the worry and turn it into prayer. Cast your cares on Him who cares for you. Don't waste your energy in worry. Take the worry and turn it into prayer. Bring it to God. Seek God. Don't worry. Seek. Talk, come and pursue God. I remember Pastor Phil has often said, if we start our year on our knees, we'll finish our year on our feet. That we begin the year in prayer. Don't let worry control you. Let worry move you into a posture of prayer. Amen, everybody. Move into a posture of prayer. Thank you for the chair. God bless you. Let's not be stuck in worry. Let's use that worry and turn it into prayer. I love what Paul said in Philippians 4, 6 to 7. He said like this, do not be anxious about anything. But there's a big but again, in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, when you pray, it is like oil that comes into that place of entanglement where you feel stuck, and it loosens things up. It's the peace of God. When you pray, starts to deal with the anxious knot in your stomach. You know, the other day I was washing my hair, and you know, that's good to do, especially when you've got long hair. And so I don't shampoo. Guilty confession, terrible. Don't shampoo. Shampoo is horrible. If I shampoo my hair, it's like this. But I don't shampoo, I do use conditioner. The other day, I went to wash my hair and get out the knots without conditioner. Oh my gosh, biggest rookie error ever. Trying to get the knots out of my hair, I could not get the entangled hair follicles apart. They were just a mess. And the more I tried, the more it got entangled and the worse it got. It didn't fix anything. I went and we went and got some new conditioner. Got the conditioner, had a shower, washed my hair, and as I'm getting out the knots, the entangled hair follicles, don't you love that word, follicles? I got the conditioner and I ran it through my hair. And as I used the conditioner, it caused the hair to separate. It put everything that was entangled, it brought it out of entanglement. It stopped all the knots. What am I trying to say? I'm using my hair as an analogy here, people. I'm trying to say that anxiety is like a knot in your stomach. But when you bring it into prayer, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding starts to deal with those entanglements and that worry and that paradigm of concern about material things, and it starts to fall, starts to fall away. And that peace of God brings order to your heart and soul so that you can begin your year in a healthy, strong place. Let's deal with worry early on this year. Let's not wait till later in the year. Let's get on our knees and let's come before the Lord. I want to encourage you, come to our 6 a.m. prayer meeting. Come and just spend time in the presence of God. Let the oil of heaven disentangle the worry and concerns about material things. Then Jesus says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So seek his kingdom. What is his kingdom? His rule and reign, his way, his will. And so when we are seeking first his kingdom, we are surrendering to his rule and reign, and we are looking to advance his kingdom in the earth. Not our agenda, not our kingdom. We are seeking to advance God's kingdom. C3SYD, we are not trying to get God to advance C3SYD's kingdom or agenda. We are, as C3SYD, we are trying to advance God's kingdom. We are trying to serve God. We are trying to follow God. We're not trying to get Jesus to join us. We're here to join Jesus in his mission for his mighty church. And they all said, come on, everybody. They all said, amen. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Righteousness means pursuing a life that looks like Jesus. Living in the nature and the image and emulating the values and the identity of Christ, seeking first his righteousness, not our own way of living, not our own righteousness, not our own works, but being defined by the character of Christ. And here's the key, everybody, as we close. When do we seek God? Jesus puts it plainly. When do we seek God? We seek God first. Come on, everybody, say first. Come on, every location. Come on, Hornsby. Hornsby in the cinema with my big head on the screen. Come on, everyone, say one more time. Say first. Beautiful. Love the sound of your voices. The thing about first is first means first. It means do not be anxious, but seek God's kingdom and his righteousness first, first, first. What are we going to do first this year? We're going to seek God first. We're not going to seek God later. Let's seek him first. What does first mean? It means we're not bringing God our scraps. It means we're not bringing God our leftovers. It means we're not adding God in where he can fit, it means we're seeking God first. In our finances, yeah, totally. In our relationships, yes. In our marriages, yes. In our work, yes. On a Sunday, we're seeking God first. Church, I want to encourage you, put God first in your week by gathering with the church on a Sunday. Don't let the beach, don't let the mall, don't let another event rob putting God first this year. Let's get into a rhythm and a habit where we're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness first when we gather together on a Sunday. Seek him first. Let's get our devotional life set up this year first. Let's get our time and resource, our money set up in a godly way first. Let's get our community that is Christ-centered set up first. Let's not do it later. Let's do it first. Seek his kingdom when? First. And look what it says. Here's the promise. And all these things shall be added. Do you know all the things God can look after? Do you know that you don't need to chase things? If you chase God in 2024, if you pursue God first, you don't need to chase things. Things will chase you. This is the truth. I've seen it in my own life. I see it on a regular basis. I know so many people. I could tell you story after story of things that have been added to people's lives when they've just put God first. I could tell you story after story of people who've sought things. They've earned them themselves, but they've lost God. What does it forfeit a man, Jesus said, to gain the whole world, but lose his soul, forfeit up his soul? This year, let's not give our soul and our spirit and our energy to things first. Let's give it to God first. And so, everybody, I want you to just take a second here. Close your eyes. Band, I'd love you to join me. As we close here, here's what I want to ask you to ask God. I want to ask you to ask God, God, where and how can I seek your kingdom and your righteousness first this year? This is what I want you to ask in week one of the setup. I want you to ask God, God, where and how can I seek you first this year? Let me pray for you. Lord, thank you for every person in our church here today, right across Sydney. Lord, we want to set up our year as you would have us set up our year. We want to set it up not in worry, we want to set it up in prayer. We want to set it up seeking you first. So God, I pray you reveal to every person in our church today where and how they can put you first this year. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Guide us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Church, they all said, come on, a good hearty amen today. Amen, amen, amen. We love you so much. I'm going to hand over the team. We will see you soon.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.